Would like to summarize some work that's been done with Barbara Shue at North Carolina State University over quite a few years. I'd like to acknowledge and express our gratitude to the USDA National Research Initiative for funding this, and I'd also like to acknowledge that most of the work that I'm reporting on today has primarily been Barbara's responsibility. But she let me come to New Orleans because she knows that this is one of the few places where I don't have to spell my name for everybody in the world. So I enjoy coming here. We've been working on intercropping as a means of disease control, not particularly from an organic perspective, but we're finding that that may be one of the best applications of this technology. Barbara and I are also involved with a Southern SARE funded project with a bigger team over three states to develop organic peanut production in the Southeast. And I have to tell you that last week we harvested our first successful organic peanut crop in Georgia on a farm scale. First ever. Here they are, organic peanuts. And thank you. That she's responsible for Linda Walker. It's really the first certified organic peanut crop in the Southeast for many years, we're looking for a lot more in the future. So that's really what I wanted to tell you, so I'm done. I'm so proud. Okay, today I'm going to describe a long series of experiments, and so it has to be brief. But it does cover seven years, and we can divide it into three phases of research, as you see there, which will become more clear as we go through it. Here's some general experimental design principles for all these experiments. What I want to emphasize from this list is that, again, this was not an organic project per se, so the management of the peanuts was conventional, which we modified, of course, where we're looking at the disease, but we used herbicides and very few insecticides, as is generally the case, but realize that that's how we went about it. Barbara and her crew looked at primarily early leaf spot, and when it showed up, late leaf spot. This is what peanuts are sprayed most heavily for, and that's the major problem that peanut growers find. Both of these pathogens look similar. We have early leaf spot on the top there, late leaf spot below, and they assessed it several times over the season. Now, for the sake of time, I can't give you data on disease progress curves. A lot of data has been generated from this, but I'm going to focus on a couple of things: yield and the area under the disease progress curve, a common plant pathological summary of disease pressure. So that's what we'll be looking at for all these years. So the first phase of the research was 2000 through 2002. Low disease pressure environment, and we intercropped our peanuts with corn. Those little plants you see, right there and right there, indicate where the research stations were where we did this work. These colored areas are the areas of greatest peanut production in North Carolina. The red is the heaviest. These were just outside of those areas, so the disease pressure was low. In fact, we needed to create an epidemic. We inoculated the crops with some sporulating plants with sporulating lesions in the center of each plot, and that created a nice focal epidemic so we could look at dispersal as it progressed through the season. The treatments over this phase, monocrop, and we had a sprayed control. In the second picture, you can see what we call an intimate intercrop. And that's where you have alternating rows of corn and peanuts, not so amenable to mechanical production. So down here we have strip intercrop, four rows of peanuts, four rows of corn, and all of this work was done mechanically in those plots. So The results we saw from the first 2 years were pretty encouraging. The intimate intercrop did not have an effect on disease, but we got a 37% reduction in the strip intercrop in disease in 2000. We tried a slightly different pattern that I won't go into with the strip intercrop in 2001, but here we see that, again, disease was reduced significantly. In fact, it was reduced in this strip intercrop by 73%, and it was not significantly different from the sprayed control. Okay? Now, the yield, we see that intercropping did not affect the yield, and this does not include the yield you get from the corn, so this was encouraging as well. We see that the intimate intercrop, as one might predict, where you have alternating rows of corn and peanuts, the peanut yield was seriously affected in 2001. But the yields are not significantly lower in the strip intercrops. Now, this is a mistake. I apologize. That's supposed to say 2002. We saw the same pattern with early leaf spot incidence, a 30% reduction in the strip intercrop. But we also had a couple other diseases that were monitored because they showed up, and we got significant reductions in tomato spotted wilt virus and also in southern stem rot caused by Sclerotium rolfsii due to the strip intercropping. So we were pretty excited after these first 3 years. We thought this has great potential as at least a tool in disease control. 2003, we were ready for prime time. So we moved into the heart of peanut production area where there's lots of disease in the ground, there's lots of background inoculum. This is, in fact, at the Peanut Belt Research Station in Lewiston, Woodville, North Carolina. Now, we didn't have to inoculate in this case. Natural epidemics of early leaf spot occur. We, in this phase, eliminated the intimate intercrop. It wasn't working very well and really is not all that practical anyway for a farmer. And we also tried to integrate this with reduced spray regimes in which we spray fewer times in combination with the intercropping. So in 2003, now, the area under the disease progress curve, our results were not so encouraging in this high pressure environment. We got the monocrop here and, we tried a cotton. I didn't mention this. We tried cotton intercrops as well as corn. Well, the corn, in fact, increased the disease significantly. The cotton did not reduce the disease significantly, so not so good. But I will point out that there was, this sounds like cheating, right? But if you eliminate the last point from the disease progress curve, you get a significant 25% reduction in disease in the cotton intercrop. Now, how can I justify that? Well, between the last assessment point and the one before that came Hurricane Isabel. And it really devastated a lot of our crop. And so the results are certainly affected by that inconvenience. We just call it an inconvenience. We're in New Orleans after all, right? Okay. The yield was not significantly affected by the intercropping, but it certainly was affected by there was a response to the spray. All right, 2004, the next year of this second phase, a little more going on here. We didn't have a hurricane this year. And what we saw this year was that the intercropping with cotton versus the unsprayed monocrop did significantly reduce disease by 41%, in fact. Corn reduced it, not nearly as much. We were getting less enthused about corn in this heavy disease pressure environment. And if you look here, you see that if you combine a strip intercrop with cotton with fewer sprays, we eliminated sprays at the beginning of the season, lower cost to the farmer, and we get even less disease. In fact, a 60% reduction in disease. Okay. If we look at the yield effects, corn had a pretty substantial effect on yield in the intercrop, but we saw that the sprayed and the reduced spray and the reduced spray with cotton, pretty comparable yields. Okay? Now again, this is just the yields of the peanuts. If you include the yields from the other crop, the intercrop, then you get a substantial overall yield increase or higher land equivalence ratio than one. Okay, let's go into the last season now, last phase rather, the last 2 years. High disease pressure, and our point now was to, well, let's forget about the corn. It's not really doing us a lot of good in this high pressure environment, and let's try more integration with other control methods. Still in the same site, Lewiston Woodville, and again, focusing on cotton. What we wanted to add in besides a reduced spray schedule was some resistance. We had so far just been using cultivars that were pretty susceptible to early leaf spot and getting the results that we did. What happens if we include resistance in our regime? Extra slide there. So a lot of treatments here, but what I want you to focus on is that we had this variety, Perry, okay? And this has this rate-limiting resistance that I mentioned, and we thought that that would be a good combination with the intercrop. Well, in fact, it didn't really work. And when you compare the unsprayed Gregory, this is another variety that doesn't have as much resistance, and compare that with the cotton intercrop, in fact, there's significantly more disease in the cotton intercrop. But here's the thing. You see, the title is late leaf spot. Early leaf spot suddenly was not so important. And in the in these experiments, we were again focusing on early leaf spot, and that's been the problem all along. And here we got a big dominating effect of late leaf spot. So it wasn't as effective to use these particular varieties because the Perry has the rate-limiting resistance, but it's much more effective against early leaf spot, and we get late leaf spot instead. Here's the yield data, and it's interesting that there really wasn't a big effect even of spraying on yield, even though there was an effect on disease. So the response to the disease wasn't so so dramatic that year. Whoops. Okay. Oh, in 2006, I don't have any graphs for you, but basically it's the same kind of pattern as this. We tried to use the rate limiting resistance and it wasn't very effective, but the rate limiting resistance we used was to early leaf spot. We had late leaf spot again that year. So, to summarize, generally over these 7 years, we've seen that in a low disease pressure environment, we get a consistent reduction in leaf spot on susceptible cultivars in strip intercrops with corn without yield loss. But in a high disease pressure environment, corn is not very effective. Cotton strip intercrops can be effective on susceptible cultivars, but they're more effective with a reduced spray regime. And when you have late leaf spot, the cotton strip intercrops weren't effective, again, with susceptible cultivars, but we don't know how they would work with resistant cultivars. So for a conventional grower, with all the shifts in acreage right now, it may be that as new growers move to new areas that haven't been producing production, low disease pressure, intercropping could be an effective strategy, especially in combination with other tools like reduced sprays. In an organic system, though, this may be ideal. Because an organic grower is used to using multiple tools, not just one spray or one gunshot approach for disease control and other pest controls. And we feel that intercropping is going to be more amenable to whole organic production systems anyway, where they're used to more alternative crops, more diversity, and just trying different things. So I thank you for your attention and look forward to questions probably after the session.